Okay. Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue to look into the book of Ephesians. Well, this section and the following section will be the remaining two sections. We have two more classes, including this one. Two more sections related to the book of Ephesians. And then we will wrap up. Well, basically, this is also the last two class I will be having with NYTS. Also, I was wondering, for the past three classes until now, have you learned anything from Ephesians? Now, I don't have time to pick on you to answer. I don't have time to ask you to answer what you have learned, but I have to do a quick recap just to make sure that at the end of this class, at least you know something about the book of Ephesians, that you are able to bring something back with you. Okay? So we will do a quick, I hope, recap. So the idea, the main idea of this book is related to church. So as we say, from 1, 2, 3, let me try this one, okay, from 1, 2, 3, and 4, 2, 6, okay, this is how you can divide, you can categorize this book. Hopefully, that'll be easier for you to remember this book, huh? Chapter 1, talking about promise of God. Chapter 2, talking about revive in the Lord. Reviving God, huh? Reviving the Lord. So this is the original promise. This part, because die in sin and then revive by grace. Okay, this is the part that we were able to be called the church. Okay, and chapter 3 is talking about the mystery of salvation. So chapter 1, 2, 3 is more addressed about theologically our relationship in terms of salvation, theologically, okay? So it's more talking about teaching, doctrine. But 4 to 6 is different. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is more practical. Also, as we mentioned yesterday, chapter 4 is about, what is it about? Grow up, life of maturity. Okay? And then chapter 5, which we'll be talking about, is Christian life or church life. It doesn't matter what you call it. You can create your own names. Okay? Church life. And chapter 6 will be ready for battle. If you do not remember anything from the book of Ephesians at the end of this class, at least please do remember from chapter 1 to chapter 6, each one, what is it mainly about? If you can bring home with, because one day when you are thinking about, Ephesians, what is the book of Ephesians about? At least, hopefully, you'll create some picture in your mind that will categorize. From 1 to 6, yeah, it's about the importance of church. From 4 to 6 is 1 to 3, and then 4 to 6 is about what we need to do as a Christian or as the church of God. Practical. All right, done with recap. This is just a security in case you don't remember anything else. All right. So we shall continue. Now we shall enter into life of transformation, which is chapter 5. And in this part, we need to separate it into two sections. One is called internal transformation. The other one is called external transformation. Okay, let's turn to Book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Now in here, it says that therefore be imitator of God as dear children,
verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and give himself to us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma, huh? Okay, number one,
internal transformation
is walk in love. Huh? But what does it mean? Well, in here we say that we need to walk in love, huh? But in here says you shall be like our Lord Jesus Christ, love as the Lord has loved us and give himself for us. Oh, this is talking about suffering, sacrifice. Okay? So what is love? Today, our concept of love, the concept of love that you receive from the society is very distorted, altered. What is love? If you are the type of person who enjoy all this celebrity chasing, celebrity news, you pursue after idols, fans, you know, always, wow, go crazy, go to the airport, he is coming, oh. And then, now you said, and then you wave, the guy didn't wave back, he said, I'm going to jump off the bridge, you know, and those kind of things. If you are crazy about those information news about celebrities, then your concept of love is definitely distorted. What is love? The society is telling you, love is the tickling feeling that when a person sees another person, love is the, I don't know, I'm too old and too far away from all those years. But you know what the world is telling you? That love is, you know what, you like him, he likes you, and then you know what, you live ever happily after in the castle. They tell you that love is, you know what, you look at someone handsome and tall and somehow, amazingly, he likes you too. So you know what, then you got together, holding hands. You know, in the world, that's what they tell you. That's why people, you see all those celebrities, they marry out of the tickling feeling, and they divorce because the feeling is no longer there. And they call it, oh, you know what, no more love, so might as well just be friends. Let's separate, and then let's continue to search for the true love. So you know what? One divorce after another, but in their life, there is never true love for them. Why? Because the concept of love is very incorrect. What is love? If you look at the Bible, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you might notice one thing. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Who want to read it for me? 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let me find a sister to read for me. Loud voice. Yating? Please read for us. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Loud. There's one more phrase. Then. No? Oh, that's verse 8. Love never fails. Okay? All right. This is a statement of love is something very familiar by all of you. But if you pay attention, you will find out of all these descriptions, one thing repeated twice. The first and the last endure. Okay? So what is love? The first one, it begins with love, is what? Long-suffering, right? Love suffers long, and love endures all. That's love. The concept of love is all, in the Bible, it's all about sacrifices. About sacrifice. About how much you are willing to give instead of how much you are trying to take. But you know what the society, what they are teaching you is not love, it's more about lust. It's always what I want, what I can get. If I don't get what I want, we separate. Okay? But you know, you look, right in the beginning it says what? The love is what? Long-suffering. And love endures. Love is willing to wait. Okay? And so then here, the first thing that he says that we must be the children of love. We must walk in love so that we are willing to be like Jesus who forgives, who wait patiently, who are willing to forgive those who sin wrong against him, even crucify him. Forgiveness is the spirit of love. Okay? So when we say that we need to be like the children of love or walking love, first thing that you need to do is put away all the grudge and anger that you have against others. It could be your sibling. It could be your parents. I don't know why, but some of the children, or some of you, might hold something against your parents. Okay, so if you want to have a new life and transform yourself, you need to remove those anger. You need to learn to forgive. You need to learn to let go before you can start transform. Okay? Second, let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay? So then here, the internal transformation, the second thing is, you walk in light. Walking in light means there is nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide. Walking in light means you are able to confidently face yourself and also face God. Okay? So, what is walking in light? Huh? Let's read verse 9. Huh? Verse 9, for the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. Huh? So what is walking in light? Two things. First, you need to do the right thing. Second, get away from the wrong thing. Okay? We mentioned about cockroach. Oh, not here in PMVP. Cockroach. If you go into the room, a total dark, in pitch dark room, you never know what you are looking at. You don't see anything. When you turn on the light, you see everything. And if there are cockroaches inside the room, what does it do? It crawls, it hides itself, right? Because cockroach does not like to be under the light. Okay? And please do realize a fact that you are not a cockroach. Well, at least you should not. You should try not to be living in a life of a cockroach. Cockroach enjoy filthy place, loving to live in darkness. So when the light comes, what happens? It runs away. Okay? So today, as the children of God, once upon a time, before we believe in Jesus, or before we understand the meaning of our belief, maybe perhaps we walk in darkness. Perhaps you are all nice and all cute and all religious in church, but hey, you become a different person in school or at home. You could. Because I do see some members who are like little sheep when they come to church. So nice to the pastor. So nice to the members. But once they get home, they become like a ferocious wolf to their wife, to their children. Yell at wife, hit the kids, kick the dog, you know. They become a very violent person. But once they enter, it's like, you know, it's so weird. Once they enter into the chapel, when they cross that, oh, suddenly they're all so religious. Oh, hallelujah. You know, something is wrong, very wrong. Those are people who still live in darkness. If their real life, not just the church life, not the life in the chapel, huh? Their real life, they still live as a cockroach in the dark. Okay? And maybe, hey, maybe nobody knows about it, but our God looking down from above, He sees everything, okay? Our thing here says that if you are a children, that if you are living in the life of transformation, you will forfeit all the old darkness, all the past that's in the dark, and then you will walk into the light and feel comfortably to be under the light, comfortably, okay? You know what is the biggest problem in the journey of Israel when they were in the desert? You might think, oh, you know what, they complain, they this, they that, they build a golden calf. You know what is the biggest problem? When did God start killing them instead of helping them? In the beginning, when they say, no food, God said, let me send meat to you. No water, let the water flow the rock, right? And then hungry, manna come from above. You know what, right in the beginning, God is very understanding and very tolerating. Until when? Until when they shout, I want to go back to Egypt. That's when God got very angry. Once upon a time, they were slaves with no future and no hope in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that you give birth to a child, and then the next thing that you know is the child will be killed? That's what happened to all their male infant. All the boys that were born will be killed. Can you imagine? What kind of life is that? You have to work like a dog. Slave, they beat you, they hit you, they do whatever they want to you, and then they kill your babies, and you're like, Lord, this is terrible, please help us. And the Bible say, the Lord say, I heard, I see, and I am coming to help. Wonderful, right? But only a few months later, only a short period, a few months later, when they were in the desert, away from the land of slavery, and they were like, oh, you know what, I think Egypt is better. We sit near the next to the pot of meat, eating watermelons. You know, if you were God, how would you feel? So when a person wants to return to the life of darkness, that really cut the person off from any potential blessing from God. That's why the Bible says that after you clean the swine, after you wash the pig clean, you wash the pig go back and roll in the mud. Oh. Also, after a dog vomit, and then after a while he forgot, he came back and started eating what he just puked. Eating his own puke. So that's why they are unclean. That's why they are considered as unclean in the eyes of the Lord. by Mosaic law. Huh? So you know what? If you are one day walking in the light, but always thinking about going back to the dark, you envy your friends who are non-believers. You envy how they can have one girlfriend after another. You envy the person who can live in sin. You know what? You are actually depriving yourself away from the precious status of the children of light. There was a brother in Bowen Park. Bowen. What is his name? Jason, right? Jason. I still remember there was once he came to NYTS and he testified about his transformation. How he used to do drugs, how he used to hang out with friends and do all the evil things. Though that it seems fun, but inside, very burdened, very hurtful, very hopeless. And then one day, light shined upon him. When people bring him to talk to him about church, and then he said, because he lost all his hair because of the drug addiction, huh? And then he said, Bo can win. This is the church for me. So you know what? He testified about all this. And you know what? We are very touched about this great transformation, how God called upon him. But you know what? After the testimony, and then I walk over to him, and then I found out he was also surrounded by some youth. And I was standing there and listened to the conversation. But I found out that the youth is more curious about what it feels like to do drug. And what is it like to be in the dark? And he was like, that's not the point. You know what? Sometimes we really envy. We envy those people who are experiencing all this life in darkness. It's like, it must be so fun, right? But please, don't you know that how hard those people trying to get out of this pit, but unable to without the power of God? So, you know what? You are the children of light. Do not envy and don't even think about going back to the old way. Okay? Because you are different. That's the children of light. Oh. You need to bear the fruit of light and you also need to be cut away from the life of dark. Number three, let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Nothing here says, see then that you walk, what is that word? Circumspectly. I have no idea what that means, but. Yeah, in a circle? Okay, we need some easier English translation, okay? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Verse 16. Reading the time, because the days are evil. 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, but in which, in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Huh? So, number three. A life of transformation means that you walk in wisdom. Okay? So internally, this is what is required of you. What is a transformation? Transformation doesn't mean suddenly you start attending service every time, which is good. Transformation is not about suddenly you are doing 2 hour, 3 hour Bible study and prayer all the time. Those are good, but those are external forms. We are talking about internally, like from your heart. From your heart, from the bottom of your heart, you start emphasize and carefully evaluate yourself in all three aspects. Am I the children of light, learning to forgive as the Lord forgives me? So when my sibling wrong against me, I can laugh, shrug my shoulder and let it go instead of holding hatred and wouldn't talk to him for 10 years. Okay? So walk in. Oh, you know what? Another thing. I know that some of you do not speak to your sibling at all. That's not right. You know, there are some youth who are very actively participate in holy work, who look very religious attending all the seminars, who are eager, who pray, they look very religious. And maybe they think they are also very religious. But if If you do all this and you demonstrate a religious performance, a life of very religious act, but you do not talk to your own sibling, no association, don't talk, feel that, come on, he is no good for me. You know what? Something is very wrong with your so-called religiousness. Because in 1 John, Apostle John said, if you cannot love the brother you can see, and you say you love God, you are a liar. Simply like that, you are a liar. This brother, some people explain, that's the church member. You know, if I learn to love my church member, I am okay. No, it begins with your own sibling. It begins with your own blood-related sibling. If you cannot even love your blood-related sibling, and then you love the church brother, church sister, that puts you as a liar as well. Okay? So, faith is always start from the near circle, from the circle that's closest to you. That's why in the Bible it says that if a man cannot take care of his own family, he is worse than the non-believer. Worse than the non-believer. Okay? So you want to walk in love, start from loving your own sibling. Be nicer. Next time when you fight, don't punch. Okay? Just be nicer. Don't pinch. Don't punch. Don't scratch. Okay? And then after you fight, sibling fights. I have a sister. Sibling fights. Okay? And I have two kids. Older daughter, younger son. They fight all the time. Every time when I come into the room, my daughter, like something happened, my daughter will always point to my son. He did it. Oh. You know, that's what happened to younger brother. We take all the blame for things we never do. Especially before we can talk. That's what my sister did to me, okay? That's why I was traumatized since young, okay? And now I find out why, because by looking at my kids, I learned why I was always have this anger against my sister. Because before my son can talk, before he can talk, everything my daughter is like, Didi, he did it. And my son is just like, can't talk. So, traumatized, okay? You know, sibling fights, but that's not the problem. Sibling fights, but never hold grudge. Sibling fights and never end in hatred. Why? Because at the end of the day, that's your brother. That's your sister. No one is closer. Oh, no one is closer than you two. Okay? Other than the parents, I mean, one family. Other than the parents, there's no one in the world should be closer than your own blood-related sibling, okay? So start from what? Try to be in good terms with your sibling, with your parents, with your family. Before you say, you know what? I'm going to show so much love to people in Africa, people in Haiti, people in here and there. Oh, there, I'm going to write all my money to them. You know what? Please, those are so superficial. Start from your family, okay? And then also look at how you live your life, how you interact with people. Are there things to hide? Are you able to be exposed under the light? You know what? You are lucky that you are not in Queens. Because Queens' pastor, resident pastor, has a very bad habit. Queens' resident pastor has a habit that he will just walk over to youth and snatch their cell phone. And then he will be like, let me see who you are calling. Right? I do that. And then you know what? You find out some youths have like triple layer of passwords. They have password to enter into their phone. They have password to look at their photo. They have password to for this. They have password for everything. Why? Think about that. Why? I do understand you don't want people to read your text. I do understand you, but I don't understand why you can't have people look at your photos. Unless there are photos that cannot be exposed under the light. Are there something? I mean, text is a little bit, but even text, what is there in text that you cannot let people see, right? Why are you putting so many layers of everything that you need a password? Don't tell me it's about privacy. Please, I've been through there. I know what you are doing. It's not just privacy. It's not, totally not. It's totally. they are things cannot be seen. So remember that when I was in high college, I used to write a pen pal. I mean, I write real letter. Yeah, do you know what that is? Like paper, real paper, and then you use your hand to write, and then you put a stamp, and then you mail. Okay, that's called letter, a real one. Okay, you know what? When I came to U.S., I was in contact with one of my classmates back in Taiwan, and she is my fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade classmates, and we are best friends. And I wrote back and forth because she's the only one that replied me after I came to U.S. I wrote like 10 letters to all my classmates, and only one wrote back. So since then, we wrote to each other for more than 10 years, one letter every month, okay? But the thing is, it's a girl. And it's a good-looking girl because later when she grew up, she worked as a studio model. Right? And the thing, but for us, because we know each other for so long and too long, so you know, for me, just somehow to keep me connected to Taiwan, my root. So we wrote each other. But the thing is, you know, when girls send letters, it's those pink envelopes with all those things. So after I read it, I always put it on my desk, on the tray, huh? And I still remember my father, my kind, gentle, and interesting but too curious father. He will come into my room, and he will be like, "Oh, how are you? How is school?" And then he will be like lingering and walking around my room, and he will be like, "Oops." And then he will knock my tray off. And you know what, let me pick it up. And then he will pick it up, and then he will take the letter. Oh, a letter. You know, sometimes parents could be so cute. That my dad is like, it's a letter. I'll just sit on my desk. I was like, just read it if you want to. You know, they are so, but you know, they worry. They worry because they care for you. But for me, there's nothing to hide because we are just, we're just classmates. We're just old-time classmates. So even it's a letter back and forth. But for me, if my father wants to read it, feel free. I have no problem with it. Actually, they all know where I store all my stuff. So you know what? When you are a children of light, yes, privacy is one thing. But unable to be exposed under the light is a different thing. Please do not mingle that and feel that it's my privacy. No. Perhaps there are things that you are so afraid that people may see. That's why when there are sometimes when people use computer, their two finger is always in out and tap. Right? Ready to when the parents pass by, out and tap. Oh, I'm doing homework right now. Why? What's going on here? Children of light is not something, you know what? Be religious, kneel there, pray, filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I see angels coming down, shining star. No, come on. That's not what I meant. Walking in light is not kneel there for 2 hours every day. Walking in light starts from how you conduct your life, how you behave. Why do you need to hide in your room? Why do you need to lock your room all the time? What are you doing? Why do you need password for every single thing in your life? That cannot be seen. Of course, again, put password for your email. That's fine. Password for your bank account. No problem. Those are very okay. Okay? So walk in the life of light. Huh? And number three, it says walk in wisdom. But in here, what is it? What does it mean? You are all well-educated. You know, your generation, you are smart, you are well-educated. But are you a person with wisdom? Or are you able to walk in life of wisdom? In here, what is the life of wisdom? What's the first thing that you talk about? Time. How do you utilize your time? Will mark you either to be a foolish person or a wise person. Okay? Then here says, redeem the time. Be careful how you utilize your time, because the days are evil. Huh? So, in here, how do you be wise? Three things. Number one, time management. Second, in here says, do not get drunk, influence. Be able to stand firm against influence. Okay? What is a drunk? What does it mean by drunk? Drunk means that you lose. Please, in here, do not feel you are okay as long as you don't drink. Hey, you know what? I don't drink. Not even beer. I should be okay, right? No. Drunk means that you are losing control. You enjoy the complacence, comfortableness, soothing. You enjoy too much what? Entertainments. You could be so drunk into the world of games. All right? You are playing games uncontrollably. And even your parents could not stop you. That your parents end up just unplug the whole thing. And then you went crazy. Okay? That means you are drunk. You are drunk by the pleasure of the world. You are drunk by the entertainment of the world. You are drunk by celebrities. Then you know what? You are a drunken person without any wisdom. That's what it says. Drunk is go way more than just alcohols. Just alcohol. Entertainments, medias, uncontrollably indulging yourself in pleasure. That's all drunkenness. Influence. Number three, friends. The Bible says, for those who make friends carelessly, I have to translate into my own version in English. For those who make friends carelessly, huh? They seek their own corruption, their own fall. Oh. If you are not careful with your friend, because in here, number three, it says what? In verse 19, huh? In us, speak to one another to songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Huh? In here, the Bible says, to one another. Which means that there are other people involved. Other involved. Huh? But you can sing hymns, songs, spiritual praises with one another. Or you can sing karaoke, love songs with one another. Love, those are, which might call that, I don't know, pop? I don't know what you call it. But you know, you see, like, those celebrities, they always sing those, oh, you love me, I love you, everybody love everybody thing, huh? But anyway, so now, be careful, because the influence of friends, who is this one another? Who is this one another? Who are you able to echo with? In Isaiah chapter 6, the angels echo to each other. Seraph, when they say, praise the Lord, holy to the Lord, holy to the Lord. It says that the angel echo each other. And then the whole temple will shake. And smoke coming up. And the power and the glory of the Lord manifest. That's echoing. So you know what? If you have spiritual friends and you echo, and then you're going to see how the Lord manifests his mighty arms and demonstrate his power in your life. Okay? That's why angels were singing and echoing, because they are spiritual companions. But today, who are you singing and echoing? Who is this one another that you have? Make a huge difference whether you are smart or you are a fool. Okay? So that's number three, life of transformation. Huh? And following, it says three relationship. The first one is husband and wife. Externally, husband and wife, spouse. Spouse. And number two is about parental. The relationship between parent and children. Number three is about career. Your boss and you. Okay? So, you know what? Now we look from external relationship. This is internal. It's all within you. Love, light, and wisdom is all start from inside. How you transform and how you become a different person from inside out. fighting here is about an actual social relationship between husband and wife, between father and the parents and children, and also between the master and the employee. Okay? These are the three relationships we all have. As the person who live in a life of transformation, they are able to conduct each relationship properly. Okay? Spouse, it might be still a little bit far from you, not very far. In fact, if you are above 22, okay, that's not my job, but you know what? You are not there yet, but very close. Some of you are very close to the age of thinking about spouse, relationship or spouse. So in that case, we can skip that thing here. We'll wait until you... Because, you know, I can say a lot about spouse relationship, but you wouldn't have any idea what I'm saying because you are not in there. Right? About in here, Ephesians says, you know what? Husband and wife need to submit to the husband. Oh, no, the sister, why? We're equal. Why? Unfair. You know, not long after we married, I was one day say to my wife, as a pastor, I was like, hey, wife, no. I was saying to her, I was just joking with her. And I was like, hey, did you read the Bible? That wife need to submit to the husband. Ah. And you know what, my wife, she never get angry. I almost never, well, she gets more easier after children grow up. Yeah, you know what, before we have kids, I never see her mad. I never saw her like raising her voice or never saw her being angry. Never. So when I say to her, hey, you just submit to the husband, huh? And she was just like looking at me. And then she would smile, giggle a little. And she's like, sure. But can you love me to the point that you are willing to die for me? If so, no problem. I will totally submit to you. And I was like, okay. That's what. I'll think about it. You know what? This is a cycle, huh? This is a circle. This is a cycle. Now, if husband in the future, huh, for you, for your information, yes, you can totally demand your wife to submit you. You can totally do that because that's what the Bible says. But make sure that you can love her to the point that you will do anything, even give up your life for her. Then you are qualified to ask her for herself. Even you don't need even to ask. If you can love her that much, even willing to die for her. If you can do that much, you don't need to ask. You don't need to be like showing her the Bible verse and say, hey, I'm the man. You know, you need to submit to me. You don't need to do any of those. Out of all the great, 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 immense love that you demonstrate to her, how much you are willing to take care of her, you don't need to say the second word and she will submit to you fully, completely. But if you're unable to do that, hey, you are not qualified to ask for it. Because the church submit to the Lord. Why? And here says that the Lord gave his life for the church. Okay? So, spouse relationship is the same. Do not always demand, give me. I shall have this. It's my right. There is no such thing as right in the relationship. What is right? This is my right. Right is for two person. You shall do this for me because it's my right. But in the Bible, husband and wife is one. They are one. So you are demanding right from yourself. It doesn't make any sense. So you know what? If you consider your relationship as one, there is no who submit to who. There is no who's right. And there is no who need to listen. Because, hey, either you win and she wins, either win-win or loss-loss. So when spouse fight, please do remember, sometimes we see that some spouse, some Some wife can be very, you know, they want to win the debate. They want to win. I need to win. Husband the same. But you have to remember, at the moment that you win the fight, you lose the marriage. So in marriage, there is no win or loss. It's only win-win or both loss. Okay? That's all, Prince Alice.